Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Chasing the Word, the Red Letters Edition. It's great to be with you today.
It's good to see you, my dear wife. Again, we're recording remotely from each other for reasons of our schedules, so it's just nice to be able to see you through Zoom while we're recording this in our respective places. In this edition of the Red Letters, we're going to be focusing on Jesus' call to his disciples to come follow him. And in two of the Gospels, we have one phrase that repeats itself almost verbatim. It says simply, "Come follow me, I'll make you fishermen for men." And another variation on that happens in Luke, where Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will be fishermen for men." So that concept of being called to be fishermen on a new level happens in three of the Gospels there. And so we're going to focus on that in our Lectio today.
Well, that being said, why don't we read from the Gospels? We'll read from Matthew and Mark today. Like you said, honey, they're almost verbatim, the words that Jesus spoke to them.
From Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22. Jesus was walking by Lake Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Simon's brother, Andrew. The brothers were fishermen, and they were fishing in the lake with a net. Jesus said, "Come follow me. I will make you fishermen for men." And at once Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed him. Jesus continued walking by Lake Galilee. He saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets to catch fish. Jesus told them to come with him, and at once they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. In Mark 1:16-20, it says, "When Jesus was walking by Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and Simon's brother Andrew. They were fishermen and were throwing a net into the lake to catch fish. Jesus said to them, 'Come follow me, and I'll make you fishermen for men.' So Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. Jesus continued walking by Lake Galilee. He saw two more brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat preparing their nets to catch fish. Their father Zebedee and the men who worked for him were in the boat with the brothers. When Jesus saw the brothers, he called them to come with him. They left their father and followed Jesus."
All of these encounters seem to indicate a radical shift in their lives. They are fishermen. That's their profession. That's the job they do. And all of a sudden, they're not doing it anymore. They've left everything to follow Jesus. And one might wonder, why would they do that?
Yeah, I'm sure they had no clue what they were stepping into, but something was compelling about it. And there's always been something, I think, about Jesus' call to people that shifts perspective, right? Gets people intrigued, gets people confused, maybe gets them a little worried, perhaps. When Jesus says, not, "Come follow me, I'm going to teach you something totally and radically different you've never experienced before," he shifts what they know into something they're going to become. He says, "Come follow me, I'll make you fishermen for men." That modifier there changes everything about what their future is going to be. And somehow it set the hooks, so to speak, in fisherman talk, into them. They were hooked on what Jesus was saying about being something above and beyond what they've been before, but something that they're probably going to know a little bit about. They're fishermen.
The concept is the same, but because they fished with nets, it seems a little kinder and gentler. I don't know. The result is the same. Jesus cast this broad net out there and said, "Come follow me." And they were caught up into the adventure of it. I have always thought that they must have encountered Jesus before somehow.
Oh, yeah. You know? I'm certain of that, too.
I can't imagine these men who had families, who had obligations, who had people to pay that they worked with, or they were obligated to someone they worked for. I don't know. They just left it. They're like, "Okay, we're out of here. Let's just go. Let's just follow Jesus."
All four Gospels have this encounter in there, but it's spoken differently in Luke and in John.
That's true.
There is a prehistory, a pre-story there that is definitely present in Peter and Andrew's lives and in James and John's life that is more nuanced than just "come follow me" out of the blue. The James and John characters are probably cousins of Jesus. Peter and Andrew have a very close tie with John the Baptist. In fact, Andrew is a disciple of John the Baptist. So they have complications in their life. Peter, he was very concerned about the finances, and they were probably deeply in debt. Like in the series The Chosen, why Peter is so at odds with Matthew. Matthew is the tax collector that's pretty much bankrupted them And that story is not just plausible, it's probably realistic. Those who were in the trades were constantly being hounded by Rome for taxes, and it was hard to make a living. And Peter was the one that was trying to keep the family afloat, literally and figuratively. So when he's asked to step away from all that to follow Jesus, it's a big deal for someone who is dedicated and committed and faithful to his family, his responsibilities. And we'll explore some of those themes next week in part 2 of this. But for those who don't have complications in their story, it's easy to focus on those key words of just come. Come follow me. Mm-hmm. I will make you fishers of men. So for whatever your story is yourself, if you are a follower of Jesus already, in some ways, Jesus has already called to you to say, come follow me. Now, there's a nuance between just being a disciple of Jesus to learn and grow with him and just follow him in life in general, and those who are called to a ministry that is specific. And it is obvious in the Gospels that the 12 were called to a special kind of ministry that no one else in the world had at that point. Disciples of Jesus to model for others and to become the leaders of the church once Jesus left this earth to go back to heaven. That in itself is something that has been debated for thousands of years. Is the calling that the 12 had the same thing as the calling that we have? Maybe it is in some levels, maybe it's not. But it's going to be important for us to suss out for ourselves, what does the calling that they received mean to us? And we'll explore that in the Lectio. I think it's plausible that when Jesus calls us, he calls each of us to something very specific and very individual. And that he also calls all of us to something that is universal. There can be both.
Absolutely. Because we are individual, because we are created in the image of God, there is that within us that wants to align with the Spirit of God. We don't often give ourselves credit for searching that out. There is something spiritual in us that needs to line up with something divine.
Would you also say it's important for us to respond to that call in order to make it a reality in our lives?
Absolutely. Those of us who have accepted a call on our lives, and not just to follow Jesus, but to also become a fisherman for humanity. I think we all basically have that calling on us. But like you said, I think the disciples really got to the core of it. Once they were hooked, as you said earlier, they couldn't go anywhere else. They couldn't imagine their lives without pursuing that call. Now, others who have been ensnared by the net of Jesus, we have a choice to make. Do we just hang out in the net, or do we get ourselves out of the net and then actually follow, walk with him and pursue? I get this vision of Jesus dragging a bunch of people in a net, you know, down the beach.
Well, there is that. Yes, a lot of us are caught up in the buzz around Jesus when we finally hear his words or hear what he did or what he accomplished on earth or the outrageous miracle of him resurrecting from the dead. Unscientific, unwhatever, but yet we're compelled to dig into that story more. We're caught. There is, I think, a difference between caught up in something and released to do something. The specific ministry of the disciples and the apostles were evangelists. They were going to bring the story that had never been told to a world that needed to hear it. We do hear about the priesthood of the believers as being something that's unique from that. It's not just about evangelism or apostleship. It's about ministering to God and to each other and making God accessible, helping each other come to God together. So it does seem like the commonality of the kingdom of God has to do a bit with this idea of being the priesthood of believers. Serve each other in the purposes that God has for us to honor him, to know him, to experience him, to be imbued with his Spirit and his power. So I do see that as being something that is absolutely universal to the kingdom if we're willing to accept it. Not just on the outside saying, okay, we're caught, you got me, I believe, and that's the end of it. And I don't want to be stuck in the net. I want to be introduced to the possibility of stepping outside the net to be willingly following him into whatever he has next for me and to give him the primacy of place. I mean, I don't think he has an idea for me that goes against my nature to be something. He wants to creatively work together with us, I believe. This is my experience. Yeah. To follow him in a way that in following him, I really get unleashed to become myself. He made me for a reason the way he made me. He made you the way he made you. And it was certainly compelling enough for me to want to marry you.
I'm glad.
I fell in love with what God built in there. And that's our life together. Now, the two of us are more than one. We have a family. Millions or billions of people that follow Jesus have that same situation where they see themselves as an individual, but also as a Christ follower, also was a member of a family and a member of a community. And all those things add layers and depth to our lives, which make us more and more complete.
Yeah, I like that. We can join our callings together and pursue a bigger picture. In the Old Testament, Scripture tells us that two are better than one, for they have a greater reward for their labor. That's a perfect description of what our life has been together. Together, we have been able to adventure to the ends of the earth.
Yes, we have.
To see things that possibly we wouldn't have seen had we not been together.
Indeed.
You know, we'll never know. But it is a great adventure. It is a great testament to joining our calling. And single people, I don't mean to exclude them in saying this, but as a single person, joining your calling with others around you that are like-minded, it brings you strength and it brings you solidity and community.
Let me explore singleness real quick, because I just had a great interview recently with James Michael Smith, who's a theologian, Disciple Dojo. He's involved with all kinds of things that we have a lot of passion for as well. He's in his late 40s and he's single. And he also has now an international ministry to singles, not to be a matchmaking service, but to be a place where singles are finding the fulfillment of their calling and their community through others that are single and how they relate to the rest of the world that's not single, and to find their place in the kingdom and develop their relationship with Jesus. I do believe that community, the way God gives it to us, is something that is available to every human being.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
I do believe that community, the way God gives it to us, is something that is available to every human being. But there are people that are very, very isolated, whether they're a believer and following Christ in a country where it's not authorized or welcome or allowed legally to do so, and they're at great danger for following Jesus, or because they're in families that look upon their faith as being something that is anathema to their family, that God is in competition with their real loyalties to their family, and they feel very lonely because of that. And those people are isolated. And for some people, they're literally isolated in prison, in solitary confinement because of their faith. The only fellowship they have is with the Spirit of God during that time. Even there can be complete and fulfilling and whole because God can make it all that. But I think when we have the opportunity to be with others, it makes sense because in that community, we have the opportunity to keep growing and expanding and looking for more opportunities to live our fullest lives. And we shouldn't shy away from those things, especially people like us who are functional introverts. I mean, yes, we're in media, but you and I are both that way. And even those who suffer from great anxieties to minister to others who might be in similar situations as us, they need to be loved on as we need to be loved on. And asking God to make it possible for us to be ministers of the gospel to others, even when we don't feel like it, don't feel like we're talented for it, don't feel like, I don't know, that things are possible beyond our limitations as we see them, if we let God speak into that. So I think those who are single or alone or isolated still need to ask God for what he has for them in community, in finding people that they can love on, that can love on them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that God condemns us to isolation, but he does offer us a roadmap, I think, often to come back into community in a way that honors him, builds us up, and builds the kingdom at the same time. I know we got to shift to Lectio now, asking God to speak to us. So no matter where you are on this planet, in a busy car, in an office, or alone in your prayer closet, we do invite you to step into this space with us.
We want to begin our Lectio Divina time together with a prayer, and we're going to ask God to just open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence across the podcast world, across the radio. We just thank you for your presence here. We ask that you speak to our hearts and our souls and our spirits, and that you would open our ears to to listen, that you would open our hearts and our spirits to receive. Amen.
Amen.
As we begin our Lectio Divina time, I'm going to ask Bram to read specifically the words of Jesus from the passage in Matthew and in Mark. And as you listen, see if there's a word or a phrase that kind of pops out, something that stirs your heart, that might even make you uncomfortable or excited and ready to listen to what God wants to say to you. Bram?
From Matthew 4, Jesus said, "Come follow me. I will make you fishermen for men." From Mark chapter 1, Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me. I will make you fishermen for men."
This time, as Bram reads the phrases again, ask the Holy Spirit for an image or a feeling that sticks out. Ask yourself, what do I need to hear from this? What in my life is yearning for this word from God?
Jesus said, "Come follow me. I will make you fishermen for men." Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me. I will make you fishermen for men."
Now, as Bram reads, ask the Holy Spirit if there's an invitation for you here. How is this word or phrase a gift for you today?
Jesus said, "Come follow me. I will make you fishermen for men." Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me. I will make you fishermen for men."
And now, as Bram reads this one last time, rest in this phrase or word that you've been given. Thank him for the gift.
Jesus said, "Come follow me. I will make you fishermen for men." Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me. I will make you fishermen for men."
Resolve to give yourself time sometime today to journal about this experience and thank God for what he's given you.
Amen. I wondered, honey, about spending time with just that one phrase, how deep we'd be able to get into this. And the Lectio you and I did earlier today had plenty of thoughts. So it's going to be interesting to go through those discussions with you today. I don't think we'll be short for ideas or for inspiration.
So as we went through it earlier today, then, what word or phrase kind of stuck out to you?
Well, for me, it was "I will." That's the one place in that where Jesus actually speaks a pronoun about himself. This thing for me was not about me. It was about him. And when he says, "I will," I want to know what's coming next.
That's good. For me, it was "come and follow." And the thought that came to mind when I heard that was like, okay, it's always come. Always come. You know, so can't I stay home? We talked about that earlier. So that was the word that stuck out to me, the phrase, "come, follow." That was an invitation as well, but it was for me. How about, as you reflected on it, was there an image or a feeling that stuck with you? And what do you think in your life needed to hear this word or phrase?
I found myself in the middle of that scene from the movie A River Runs Through It, where you've got a fisherman out in the middle of the river casting this line up the river and down the river, the dappled sunshine on the waters, and the solitude of being out there with nature. And the fisherman in that scene is not just after the fish. He's after everything. He wants to be in the atmosphere. He's experiencing all of it. And the fish happen to be the grand prize, the glory of the moment. It is everything around you that is full of life. And you're glad to be out there. And of course, I thought about the nets and things, too. There are different kinds of fishing. Down below the fisherman is this current where you can kind of sometimes see through the waters to where the fish are. Sometimes you can't penetrate because of all the light dancing on the water, but you know they're there. And the fisherman is deeply aware of the fish, is concerned about the fish. The perspective of the fishermen is not just about being in the water, sitting around on the rocks, looking around at fish. They're on a whole different level of atmosphere, but they are intimately aware and concerned for what the fish are going through, too.
For me, the picture in my mind came up of a hiking trip, that there was this adventure that I was being called to. We live in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, and there are mountains and public lands and parks in and around us that we can visit and just have a beautiful experience. And our property in Idaho, it is definitely away from the world around you with beautiful vistas and sunsets. And so I got this image that we are on this adventure somehow, and it is not just an adventure for me, but it is for those around me. Mm-hmm. This adventure to bring them alongside, to bring them on this adventure. And it was exciting. Yes. It was unknown. So that's always a little, you know, scary for me, but it was exciting. I felt this excitement come up inside of me as I saw this beautiful vista and was hiking in this gorgeous place. So what do you think for you, honey, was the invitation?
I'm being called into something, and I've debated a number of times about how much of that second part of the call to the disciples who became apostles applies directly to me. Am I called not just to come and see and follow, but to become fishermen for men? Because I never thought about myself being a professional, but they're being called to do something on another level. It's above and beyond what they already know, but it is something they know a little bit about. They know how to go out there and pursue, to catch, to bring in. He's appealing to what they already know. And I thought to myself, what do I already know that God's calling me into and wants to be lifted above just the ordinary? I mean, I can write or I can report or I can be a journalist or something and just tell the news. But for me, the power in my life has been the story. I want to be a storyteller, writer, communicator. I want that to be elevated above just the menial. Being a copywriter for advertising stuff is within my wheelhouse for what my skill set is, but is it meaningful? Probably not as an end in itself, but it is a skill. And I've been thinking about what the call and the challenge is to me. What is my fishing? What is my fisherman skill? And how is he calling me to become that kind of person on a different level? And I have to think that through some more, because even at our age, I'm still thinking about what it means to be fulfilled and be productive and excellent in the work that I do.
Sure.
And how it affects the kingdom in the process, too.
Absolutely. Well, the invitation for me was to bring hope that there is a world around us that is feeling pretty hopeless right now. Not just because of the political climate here in the United States, but also around the world. The climate around the world is in dire straits. I don't just mean environmentally, but I mean internally, religiously, politically. It's just, it's all this upheaval.
The moral climate.
Yeah, that's a good word to use. But as followers of Jesus, as those called out of an ordinary life, we have this invitation to bring that hope, the hope of an internal peace, even when there is no external peace. And I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like or what that's supposed to look like. I just believe that there is an adventure, I keep using that word, out there for us, you and I, to participate in and to be part of to bring this hope to others who desperately need it.
Yeah, to be available to hear the desperation in others and not condemn them for being desperate.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anybody that comes to Jesus successfully that is not desperate in some way and admits it. You know, people that do not admit that they are lacking or that something's missing will probably never bother to go the distance and do the difficult thing to actually come and follow. They don't need Jesus in their own hearts and minds. And sometimes I think God just kind of pricks our hearts or works our circumstances in such a way where our need for a touch from the divine, for his presence in our lives, becomes obvious. I think he will often allow those things to happen in order to make it possible for us to approach him and not disregard him.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ponder on this a little bit more too. And thank God for the opportunities that have come our way and that will come our way, because I do believe there is more adventure out there for us.
Amen to that. And hopefully a lot of adventure for our Compassion Radio partners and listeners out there too. We're inviting you into this with us. explore these thoughts this week, and as we come into part two of Jesus calling his disciples, we'll explore more of the prehistory, the pre-story, the things that come up to hold us back from saying yes to the challenge, the invitation to come and follow him. So we'll do that on next week's Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word. We're glad you've joined us today, and we'll see you tomorrow on the next Compassion Radio.
We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Call us today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We'll see you tomorrow.